All right, good afternoon, everyone. Take two. All right, this is Why I Love the Evening Service and You Can Too by Kevin DeYoung. Kevin DeYoung is a Presbyterian pastor who was kind of catapulted into a celebrity status through his association with T4G. Good writer, solid Presbyterian, straight on the gospel. I enjoy hearing him preach at T4G.
Yeah.
You guys do as well?
Yes, yep. Sir.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good writer, too. Yeah. His books are good as well.
Yeah, good writer. All right, let's get started, Brian.
My whole life, I've gone to church Sunday morning and Sunday evening. My parents took us to church and Sunday school on Sunday morning, and they always took us back on Sunday evening. We even went when the Bears were in the Super Bowl.
That's a football team, right?
Yeah. All right. And they've only been to the Super Bowl once, so we know what he's talking about. January of 1986.
All right.
The crowd was much smaller than Sunday morning, but there were always people eager to be there. Over the years, the evening service started to feel less like a real service as preaching became less prominent. We'd watch a video for a month or combine with another church for the summer or try small groups. I have nothing against videos in their proper place, joint services, or small groups. But at the time, they all seemed like efforts to keep up the tradition of the evening service without putting forth much effort. In college, I went to a Baptist church with strong preaching. My friends and I went Sunday morning and came back hours later to their well-attended Sunday evening service. While at seminary, I attended a wonderful OPC, now PCA, congregation. The attendance could be sparse on Sunday night, but I was always eager to go. I even met my wife there. My first pastoral charge was at a large church in Iowa. As the associate pastor, I would often preach on Sunday evening. We had around 900 people in the morning and about half that in the evening. I was glad to be there for two services. When I came to the University Reformed Church in 2004, the long-standing tradition of evening services had just about disappeared. I don't think the interim pastor had much interest in them, and the attendance had dwindled to a few dozen. I told the search committee that I wanted to resurrect the evening service. Over the years, the service grew to a strong core of committed folks, about one-fourth of our Sunday morning attendance. Now, as the pastor at Christ Covenant, I'm eager to pour into Sunday evening and, by God's grace, see that service flourish. Every church I've ever been a part of has had a Sunday evening service. I've always gone. It's what I grew up with, it's part of my rhythm as a Christian, and I am immensely grateful for it. It can be a chore to get the whole family back for the evening, and at times with young children.
He's got a bunch.
Yeah, he does.
My wife hasn't been able to make it. But we hope to instill in our family the same habits that have served us so well. Saying enough, but not too much. Before I say anything else, let me make clear that I don't think Scripture absolutely requires an evening service. Nor do I think church members are necessarily disobedient if they don't attend their church's evening service.
Golly, why did he say that, man? All right, let's
continue. Because he knows we're going to ask for scriptural evidence. I know some good Reformed folks will argue that the evening service is a matter of biblical obedience. I can't make the case definitively. Some churches, maybe in cultures that make a second service on Sunday evening prohibitively difficult. Some congregations may be really committed to home groups on Sunday nights. Other congregations may have repeat services that stretch into the afternoon, or they may do the same Sunday morning service on Sunday evening. Many churches have never had an evening service. It's just not in their DNA. I sympathize with the difficulty they may have in even considering an evening service. Other churches may find it difficult to pull together a second quality service because their resources and personnel are stretched thin. Many smaller churches or church plants may be in this situation. And then there are the individual church members who may have a hard time getting back to the evening service because they live an hour away, or someone out of necessity has to work on Sunday evening or at 4 a.m. Sunday morning, or the family has young children who need to be in bed before the evening service will be over. I know there are many reasons why having, starting, keeping, or going to the evening service may be difficult. I do not want to require more than Scripture requires.
Golly, he gave a litany of reasons right there. He put some thought into all the possible considerations. Why not?
Mm-hmm. All right, so what is still worth saying? And yet, I think you'd be hard-pressed to argue that the waning of the evening service has been a mark of renewed strength and vigor in the Western Church. Here are a few reasons why I'm thankful for the evening service and why I hope you'll consider keeping yours, going to yours, finding a neighboring church that has one, or even starting one at your church. Number one, starting and ending the Lord's Day with corporate worship fits the pattern of morning and evening sacrifices. I don't think this is a slam-dunk argument for evening worship, but it corresponds to a good pattern that the day would begin and end with worship.
That's rather Presbyterian of him, isn't it? I mean, yeah, when you're equivocating baptism and circumcision as a sign of the covenant, it's easy to make morning service and evening service like sacrifices.
Yeah, I would have never went there. I mean,
it's not an argument I would have made whatsoever, because none of us have ever experienced morning and evening sacrifices. Unless there's a Messianic Jew in your congregation, and even they don't know what morning and evening sacrifices are. It's an attempt to, I think, bridge a reason that's, you know, I think quite a stretch. But I think he's got some better reasons. But
you have to, you kind of almost have to start there, because your entire foundation for why you practice this sacrament for infants is built on this linkage to the Old Testament.
Yes.
That, in my view, doesn't exist.
Right.
Number two.
If the sermon and the sacraments are truly a means of grace, let's give people the opportunity to experience this grace and take advantage of the opportunities on the day set aside for worship. Martin Lloyd-Jones supported the practice of evening worship because he believed there should be a hunger for the preaching of the Word, a hunger that desires a second time to feast on the Bible.
I like the second half of that reason.
Yeah.
I don't much like the first
That introductory half. Statement is kind of like, that's your Presbyterian heritage.
Yeah, and Lutheran and Catholic even, that they are means of grace.
Yeah. I don't get why the Presbyterian Church loves to use that word sacraments. I know as Baptists we've kind of gone away from it and we'll use words like, you know,
because
ordinances.
Came out of the Catholic Church.
But they wouldn't want a fellowship with the Catholics.
No, certainly not. But goodness, aren't there just tons of traditions that carried over into the Lutheran Church and by extension into the Presbyterian Church and by extension into the Church of England? I mean, they all clearly come out of the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, that's the obnoxious thing that Baptists definitively argue over and over and over again is don't put us in that same linkage. We're not that entity.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why so many Baptist churches struggle with the idea of having elders, because Presbyterians have elders, and we are not Presbyterians.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to have anything that sounds like, looks like, smells like Presbyterian or Lutheran or Catholic. I mean, let's not forget, there was a small period of time in which Presbyterians were going after those that baptized by immersion with a passion. I mean, you can paint it over, you can white wall it, you can do all you can, but you can't totally eradicate a reality in church history that Presbyterians and Baptists would not be sharing at a conference, a preaching conference in Europe.
And it's unfortunate that that's the connotation, because the Bible had elders long before John Calvin came along. So,
yeah.
You know, it just happens to be the Greek word presbyteros, which is what they use for Presbyterian. So, you know, it's a shame that connotation has made Baptists run from that idea.
Absolutely.
You know,
I mean, I use that word more and more, trying to use it, trying to introduce it, trying to remind people that's a Bible idea. But I'm just explaining to you why there's such a division. You know, I mean, I grew up, Steve, hearing in this church, and you did too, that our former preacher was a Presbyterian and never heard the gospel.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he would remind us of that on a regular basis, that he didn't hear the gospel in the Presbyterian church that he attended his entire life.
Well, and it must be the same one Trump attends.
Oh, he doesn't attend.
You know, we're not
if
here
he
to...
Would. If he would.
Let's be clear, listener. We have Presbyterian brothers in Christ that we love. And just like we have Baptist churches that aren't preaching the gospel, we have Presbyterian churches that are not preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. And we're not Presbyterians. There's a reason we're not Presbyterians. We're Baptists. All right, let's get on to, what is it, reason three now?
Number three. Having an evening service keeps the Lord's Day the Lord's Day. Without the evening service, I find it too easy to treat Sunday worship like an hour to get done at the beginning of the day. With evening worship, Sunday feels like a day set apart. Without it, Sunday morning worship feels like one thing to do in the midst of a busy weekend. The temptation to squeeze worship into the margins of life is more pronounced when we can finish our worship requirement by 8 p.m. Saturday evening.
I think that's a strong argument.
Yeah.
So far, it's my favorite of the three. And it's why we have not done a Saturday worship service. Mm-hmm. Because either we have a Lord's Day or we don't have a Lord's Day. And clearly, our New Testament teaches we have a Lord's Day. That there was something special going on with the apostles on the Lord's Day. And primarily, it revolved around the remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then, by extension, the gospel that was made possible by the resurrection.
And even with our morning service, evening service, we're probably not reproducing what went on in the first century in the early church. You know, we're not doing exactly what they did in Acts. But I think what the morning and evening does is it is the Lord's day. It's not the Lord's hour. And any Jew leading in, that, and a converted Jew that became a Christian in the early church, would have honored that day just as they used to honor the Sabbath the day before. So I think it's a strong argument.
So culturally, Dave, would the Jews in the first century, would they have stopped their resting on what we label Saturday and started their resting on Sunday? They're resting from the plowing in their agrarian society?
Well, I think you're probably handcuffed by the society. There's not much that's going to be going on a Saturday if you're a Christian in Jerusalem. But they're probably not going to adhere, although some did, because Paul's dealing with Judaizers all the way through.
Yeah.
A converted Christian probably doesn't necessarily feel the need to limit his steps and that kind of thing on Saturday. And
I'm just thinking more. I'm thinking more of a work, mindset of, if I can't go out, if there's a day that I know God wants me to kind of take off and set aside for Him, do I take the cultural, what had been the Saturday for my animals to rest and all that? Or do I switch that to now Sunday, and I'm working on Saturday, plowing my field, taking care of my...
The church I left to come here definitely had that mindset. There was no Sunday evening service because they're farmers.
Right.
I mean, the whole thing, you're sitting out there, you got 200, 300 people that come to church on a Sunday morning, 350 on a Sunday morning into this little bitty church. It's packed out, pews bursting. And then they go out and they don't do a Sunday evening service because they've been plowing, they've been working the fields all day Saturday till late at night. So Sunday is the only day to set aside and have a family day and everything else. So very much it's not uncommon for them to have Sunday morning worship, have even a church lunch and fellowship time that kind of goes into the afternoon, and then take the rest of the day to break apart into their extended families and sit around and relax and rest the farm equipment and everything else to get ready for the next morning's.
Right, but I think you were asking about the first generation Christians.
I'm thinking about first generation Christians because
if you're a
40 year old male first, in the first century, and you place your faith in Christ, you have for years been working your land, giving it a break on Saturday. Do you suddenly switch over to give your land a break on Sunday instead and work the Saturday? Or, I understand, city-wise, you're not going to be able to go in and, pick up some feed for the animals and that kind of thing. But just wondering if it ended up turning into what we kind of have now, the two-day weekend, where we have our rest day or catch-up day.
Well, we have Paul going into the synagogues on the Sabbath day and reading.
That's where he's debating and reading the scriptures. Yeah.
Right, on the Sabbath day. So it seems to me that they're doing two things, especially the closer you are to Jerusalem. You're keeping a Sabbath on Saturday, and you're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord on Sunday. And then probably the greater degree to which you're away from Jerusalem and in the cultures, like you say, that have this huge impact by it, it's probably less on the Sabbath until it transitions to a one-day-a-week event where it's the Lord's Day.
Yeah, that's probably it.
All right, number four?
The evening service is a lot of work, but it is good work. It can allow more teaching opportunities for others in the church. In most churches, there will be men, other than the senior pastor, gifted to teach and preach. Having an evening service gives those men and those in ministerial training more opportunities to exercise and hone their gifts.
Yeah, and we talked about this, David, I think, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we hear all the time, you know, why we're in the minority. Why do you guys still do an evening service? And
right.
I think this is one of our stronger arguments for it is, you know, Nate got to preach a few weeks ago, and Brian got to preach a few weeks ago, and Steve's preached this summer, and Jack's preached this summer, and John's preached this summer, and I've preached this summer. It's and those opportunities would not have been there with simply a morning service.
No.
Yeah. And so, like this week, we've got a missionary coming in, right? Well, we wouldn't give up a morning pulpit service for him. So he comes and he speaks on a Sunday night, and the church gets to get exposure to one of our missionaries. I think that's one of the most valuable things about the Sunday evening service.
Five.
Most pastors are busy, even crazy busy. We aren't usually looking for one more thing to do. But of all the things we could do, spending more time in the Word is one of the best. A second service forces the pastor to spend more time in the Bible, which is a good thing, too.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't argue with that. You can't argue that. And I don't really think that most pastors are crazy busy, to be honest with you.
Probably not.
I think most pastors are crazy lazy. Mm-hmm. I think that's the reality.
That's a different podcast.
I think there are a lot are entering the ministry because it looks like a cushy job.
Well, I don't know if you guys have had this experience, but I think if you talk to people at other places and you tell them what we do around here in terms of a schedule, and this is not lifting us up by any means, but you know, to do a Sunday school, Sunday morning, two Sunday morning services, a Sunday evening service, Wednesday services, you know, I think people's first reaction is, well, how do you do all that? You know, yeah, that seems like a lot of work. I think that's normal. And from ministry people, I think they'll say, oh, I can't believe you do all that.
Well, you remember that guy? What was the guy several years ago that wanted to reduce his contract to where he only preached 40
times?
Yeah,
it was the guy that replaced Rob Bell up in Michigan.
Right. Remember that?
We didn't podcast about that. He didn't want to preach more than 30 Sundays a year.
Right. 52. All right? I want to preach 60% of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, just
this is my church.
Right. This is my church, and I want to be in the pub 60% of the time. I mean, that's insanity.
Yeah.
There's no point in owning a private jet if you can't be flying it.
What are we at?
Six. Number six. The evening service is a great time for extra fellowship and extra prayer. We can do certain things with meals, small group prayer, and lingering conversations that are more difficult on a cramped Sunday morning. Sunday evening provides opportunities for testimonies, for prayer requests, for organized prayer for missionaries, or unreached people groups.
Okay, another great argument.
Yeah, really good.
I mean, you can't argue that one at all. That's just another excellent argument. We've gotten several so far.
We talk about that all the time, is that group that we have on Sunday night that comes back for Sunday night are your most faithful prayer warriors. They're the ones that know each other. They're the ones that are committed to fellowship within the church, and that's your foundation. If you don't have that, you know, if people are only seeing each other for an hour every week, you can't build that kind of relationship.
Yeah, don't whine about not having friends in church if you don't come back Sunday night.
At least try it.
Right. Don't whine about not being connected to anybody if you don't come back on Sunday night, you know.
And Wednesday night is not even Sunday night, right? Because, you know, Wednesday night the kids are going and we've got people going. Sunday night is just a different, as you often say, it's a family atmosphere.
Yeah, it's too big of a church. Come back on Sunday night and see if you say the same thing.
Yeah.
Number seven.
I found the evening service to be a great training ground and proving ground for future officers and leaders in the church. As a pastor, I take note of who is committed to morning and evening worship and who seems to be growing in hunger for the Word.
So you learn about your congregation on a Sunday night, don't you?
Not as many of them around to have to grab hold of.
Yeah, especially when you do any kind of interaction. If you're able to do any kind of interaction as you're preaching, you take note of who says what, the way they say it. You can certainly get to know your congregation, hear how they articulate answers, get a better understanding of what they're comprehending, and how articulate they are in the way they communicate truth. So certainly that seven's good. I think his strongest arguments are 3, 4, 5, and 6. I think the middle of it is absolutely the best.
Yeah.
All right, just to reiterate, I don't think we can mandate the evening service as an explicit command of Scripture. Can we mandate that the Sunday morning worship service is an explicit command of Scripture?
Well, I think you can command that a worship service on the Lord's Day is an explicit command of Scripture.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know that we've got timing there. Yeah.
That doesn't mean, however, that the evening service shouldn't be a take-it-or-leave-it proposition. The traditional church should not be quickly overturned, especially by those who want to lay claim to the Reformed Puritan mantle. Why does he say that? Why are we talking about that?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I thought we have this thing called the Bible.
Yeah, you know, as much as I like Kevin DeYoung, he's got his doctrinal positions that he always has to defend, and his denominational positions that he always has to defend, and he's a writer a lot, so he hits those a lot. So I think that's just, you know, I think that's him reiterating his stance on where he stands.
I mean, I don't think that's any different than the Independent Fundamental Baptists, who seem to have this idea that that very grouping is like God's favorite. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he has the same allegiance that way that they have to that way, and I would just purport that, golly, why can't it just be Scripture?
Yeah, I think probably the thing I think we would interpret that statement maybe a little bit differently than what he means, but when you think about the new Reformed kind of idea, which is much more hip, much more trendy, you know, to get rid of the old traditions and do these new things and call them new names and, you know, go over to the pastor's house and smoke a cigar with him and all that kind of stuff. I think we could argue from that position is, you know, don't embrace that movement to overthrow tradition. I don't think that's what he's saying.
So is
but
this,
I think we could say.
Right, is the Reformed Puritan mantle, is that the Jonathan Edwards mantle?
Doesn't get much more Reformed and Puritan than Jonathan Edwards, yeah.
Right. Right. And I just don't know why we're going there instead of the Pauline mantle. Mm-hmm. If I have to go to a mantle, and I've got this apostle that was the apostle to the Gentiles, I don't really understand why I'm not going there. And if I look at him, he's in the synagogues on the Sabbath day, and then he's doing enough preaching that in the book of Acts, they're falling out at midnight on the Lord's Day. Mm-hmm.
But I think, Pastor, one of the reasons why that might be is because the idea of a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, three times a week doesn't really fit the New Testament. It says that they met from house to house daily. And when you apply like Hebrews 10:25, you know, this is in a context where they're meeting daily, and he says, whoever the writer is, so much more as you see the day approaching. But as we got into society mandates and cultural pieces, like in agricultural United States of America, early days, colonial days, when these guys had a preacher and they had the Methodist circuit riders and those kind of things, and you're only being able to get services so every so often, so I'm going to be in town today, so let's make the most of the day and have two services or three services, kind of scenario as we go around and make the circuit, that fits that Reformed Puritan model that he desperately wants to hold on to. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a morning and an evening service. That's great. That's wonderful. It does a lot of what he says is accomplished, but I think he's trying to go back and hold to a point in history that if he went all the way back to the Bible,
he couldn't argue that point.
He couldn't argue the point, because that point is insufficient to even what the Bible was actually stating of a day-to-day type of fellowship and gathering to study God's Word.
Well, sure. It's pragmatic.
Yes.
Yeah, sure it is.
Yeah.
Right. My point is, I want us in this church, I want all those listening to this podcast to understand that we have a greater allegiance to the Scripture than the Reformed Puritan mantle.
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely.
There may be good reasons not to attend your evening service or not to have one, but these should be considered prayerfully, not as an easy concession to lifestyle habits and cultural pressure. And that's one of the reasons why we're trying to achieve a balance at Berean Baptist Church here. We have maybe 10 Sundays a year, maybe 8, somewhere around there. I don't know if there's the right number.
It's rough, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, the July New Year's, 4th. July 4th. Just some particular Sundays where we know lots going on in the people's lives, family coming in, time to spend extra time and all that. Yet we try to make sure that there's still enough Sundays. If there are 52 Sundays a year and we take 10, then that means there's still 80% of the Sundays of a year that are available to do the things that he articulated, to get to know church members, to do more fellowshipping, to have alternative preachers, to bring in a missionary, to share prayer requests, to... Somebody told me the other day they were just loving the idea that people stand up and introduce themselves in church. Getting to know people's names, getting to know people in the congregation. All the things that you can't do on Sunday morning.
Right.
You know, all those different things are just not feasible on Sunday morning, are possible on Sunday night. So what about David, the family who's struggling at making it to the evening service? Any thoughts for them?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I don't want to belittle anybody's struggles, but I think it just comes down to a mindset. I just think it comes down to a commitment. I mean, you know, yeah, we dragged three kids to church Sunday morning and those same three kids in the afternoon. You know, there are some days they move a little better than others, and some days it's a struggle to get them all together and get them dressed and get them out of the house. But there's never been a Sunday evening, and granted, I'm employed at the church, but there's never been a Sunday evening where we've gone, all right, it's just too much, we can't get them to church tonight. I mean, I think that's you've got to commit to do what you're doing, you know, and if it's important to you, you'll get there.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm struggling at the most, is that we're living in a day and age in which Christians, these are people who purport that Jesus is Lord, and they make a decision every Sunday as to whether they're going to church or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not a one-time decision. This decision is made every 7 days.
Yeah. And nobody's saying you can't ever miss a Sunday evening service, or you can't go out of town, or you know, it's not a legalistic piece like that, but... You know, the fact is, on most of those Sundays that you're not coming, you're just not making the effort, you know.
So what about this idea of I we need more family time, David? Is that reasonable? Could, if someone said to you, you're my pastor, David, we're going to come half the time to Sunday evening?
You know, I think it's, you know, I think there are times when I wouldn't begrudge somebody for needing family time. But I think the culture's set in the church. I think, you know, routine is developed in the church. I think, you know, I think that's what you were saying. We're trying to get that balance between, all right, let's give you some Sunday nights off, you know. But, and then at the same time, I've heard churches say, well, we're going to take the summer off on Sunday evenings. Well, when you try to reinstate it in the fall, nobody comes back because now they're used to not coming to church. Mm-hmm. So if you want it to be a part of your culture, you know, obviously we're not going to treat it the same way we do a Sunday morning service. But at the same time, if we don't make it a priority, then they're not going to come back. If we don't say we want you to come back, this is why we need you here, it's going to be very easy to say, well, I can't imagine making the decision that we're only going to come half the time. You know, I think if you're coming half the time, you're coming because or you're not coming because you're just letting things, you let it get away from you that day and say, well, I guess we can't make it tonight. I mean, who would sit down and say, we're going to go the second and fourth Sundays of every month? I don't think people have that conversation. I think people are either coming or they're not. I think that generally is what it is.
He suggests here that the people need to give it a try.
Yeah.
Yeah, he suggests here that you need to make an effort and see if you can incorporate this into your life. Steve, did you grow up going to a Sunday evening service?
Oh, yes.
Jack?
I did. My parents didn't go to church. So if I went to church on Sunday morning, I walked 4 miles to church on Sunday morning. I walked
uphill?
Both
across
ways.
Fields. I walked home, and then I would walk back to church that night. Same thing for Wednesdays, yep. From the time I was about 13 to 17.
Yeah, and if you go to church in the evening service, you can sit next to your girlfriend. That's not a bad deal at all.
Were you like barefoot and like in overalls or something? I'm just trying to picture Arkansas.
No, but I did wear BDU pants.
You wore BDU pants, huh?
Camouflage pants.
All right.
Yeah. But did you have a girlfriend in church?
I did. She's my wife.
Well, then it was a good investment.
Worth the 4 mile walk. Huh?
Yeah, that's why he was walking.
Well, Kevin says right here he met his wife in the evening service.
Yeah, I met Angela when I was in 7th grade and she was in 6th grade at church.
And when I started attending Brian, Pam came down from Hiles Anderson in Indiana, and Of course, at that time, she had to attend to evening service as part of her employment contract. And so, spend more time with your potential wife, girlfriend. Before the service, remember, this is before Facebook. This is before texting. This is before all that.
So, and you know, that, and that's a, you know, we talk about that's our foundation. That's our committed group. Well, you know, I would imagine a young Christian woman that wants a good Christian man, she's going to appreciate a guy that has the wherewithal to show up
on Sunday evening
service. In our church group, we had discipleship studies the hour before the worship service.
You went to Southern Baptist Church.
I did.
Yep.
So so our youth group would have, and there was all five of us, and our senior pastor was slash youth pastor as well, so that was the only time he really got to teach the youth. We had youth workers for Wednesday night. But we would sit, and he would take us through a Bible study, verse by verse, through entire books, and we would do one book right after another book, right after another book, right after another book. And you talk about a crazy busy pastor. I mean, this was a guy who was a system administrator for the Arkansas Central Region for Target. He was an IT guy back before the internet and everything else.
Right.
So he was doing that, and then in his 60s, and pastoring the church, part-time, you know, so to speak.
How about you?
Three times a week, yep, growing up.
Mm-hmm. Brian up in Ohio?
Yep, and we were there on Saturday to clean. We were there whatever day needed to be if the facilities needed cleaned or bathrooms remodeled. I mean, I grew up in a small church. Mom was the pianist and cleaning lady. Dad was the treasurer and deacon and one of the repair guys. So I was at church 4 or 5 days a week sometimes.
Sure.
So it's a natural transition for me now. I don't know what I'd be doing if I didn't spend as much time at a church.
Yeah, and when we have a Sunday night off, I mean, it seems strange to us. It's nice.
Strange, yeah.
We take a little break. It's a nice rest and all that. But I can't imagine completely eradicating it from my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to church 3 times my entire childhood, so there's a parallel with the rest of
the I think another, for our church, at least for Berean, I think another, we could put a number 8. You get to be involved in the business affairs of our ministry. I don't understand, I mean, and maybe it's a completely different mindset, but of the 500-600 adult, you know, Sunday morning worship attenders, we have only, 250-300 of them will come back on a Sunday night to see how we spend their money.
Well, it's not their money.
Yeah. True.
I mean, the bulk of your tithe is coming from your Sunday night church.
From that group that comes back, yeah.
You know, in fact, you don't even want to be reminded,
yeah,
if you're not a giver, that this is, there's this thing called slides and money and a budget and that you're just a moocher. Well, I mean, I don't care if they're offended. What else would you call it in any other group? Pick any other group that you want, David. Mm-hmm. Just let's say a bunch of guys come together every week and they're going to watch football or some sport. And you got this one guy that always shows up and never brings anything.
Never chips in for pizza.
Right, never chips in for pizza, doesn't ever bring any of whatever the beverage they're drinking. You know, a bunch of beer drinkers are never going to let that happen. If around this table, if we were a bunch of beer drinkers and we got together every single week for Heineken's and all that, and you showed up week after week and sucked down 6 or 7 of them and never brought anything, they would call this guy out.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
If Nate didn't bring the Mountain Dews to our meeting, he'd be all kinds of upset.
Or if you left the pink milkshake behind.
Or milkshakes, yeah, theoretically speaking.
If that were to happen.
My father-in-law grew up with a hunting club. You know, they formed their own hunting club. You know, go up to Upper Peninsula, Michigan, hunt. 3 weeks of hunting. Got to bring everything you need, the propane, all the food. Everybody chips in. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets to come up for 3 weeks of hunting in the Upper Peninsula and get the heat, get the eggs, get that, and you don't have to pay.
Everybody has a part.
Right, everybody has a part. That's why they're not involved. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want to give up any of their own precious money to help fund this ministry that they are a part of and that they benefit from. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. We got somebody who's giving to our ministry and they attend another church in town. And they've been giving to our ministry for a year and they attend another church in town.
How does that work?
Exactly.
Does that church know about it?
Right. Bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's to me, that's just indicative of just how dysfunctional our society is. Because if I couldn't give to a church, if I didn't believe in what the church was doing there, I'd find another church. Mm-hmm. There's no way, Steve, I'm going to go to a church and believe they're all chewed up and then keep going. And I think it's just a cop-out. That's what I think. I think that they justify their selfishness by coming up with mediocre reasons for why not to come back on Sunday night, why not to give, why not to participate. It's all just piddly justifications, irrational justifications for sin.
Like I said, if you come back Sunday night, people are going to see you. They're going to know your face. They're going to know your name. All of a sudden, that creates accountability that some just don't want.
That's right. Yep, I got a guy, a young man who's begging me about a wife and won't come back on Sunday nights or won't come on Sunday mornings or won't come on Wednesdays or whatever. Look, you think that that godly woman who's crazy about looking for a spiritual man is looking for a guy who comes to church once an hour on a week?
I mean, there's a massive section of singles right there in the front of the church every Sunday evening.
Yes.
And Wednesday and every other time.
Yes, yeah. Very committed.
Yeah.
Very committed, yeah.
You know, as he was going through this whole list, you know, he's talking about the 4 a.m.s, this, that, and everything else. He was asking about, you know, when could we see somebody not come in seasons of which it not to be able to come. And I was trying to think, you know, when could that be? And, you know, one thing that I thought about might be an excuse in our church is when you return from deployments. But, Pastor, you and I both know that when you come back from deployments, you're getting block leave. That'll catch up that time. You don't need a series of Sunday evenings for a few hours while you're doing recovery cycle. When recovery cycle's over and you go on block leave, you're going to have days on end to the point one of you is going to be ready for you to go back to the field before it's over.
Yeah, it's just a series of excuses.
Yeah, I mean, and they, like you said, there are nights where the kids are sick, and there's a night where, you know, there's a crazy schedule going on. Okay, that stuff happens. That's life, but you can't lean on that every single Sunday. And so, you know, even the 4 a.m. work time. Okay. What time are we getting out of church? You know, 7:15? You're not going to bed at 7:30. Like, what, you know, it's like the kids that say, I can't do this today because I got to go home and do homework. You're not going to do homework at 3 o'clock. You know, you're going to start homework at 9:30. What are you doing between now and then? You know, you know, it's the same thing.
You can't go to youth group on Wednesday night because I have homework.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're playing video games between 6:30 to 8:30, right?
Well, I'd say most of the guys in this room probably get up fairly early in the morning.
Oh, goodness. Every morning, Monday morning, I was up at 4 a.m. as a first sergeant, the whole military career.
Yeah.
There was never a time I was beyond 4 o'clock in the morning. So, and we never missed a Sunday night. I mean, it just was not part of, it wasn't even a consideration. It wasn't even a discussion. Are we going back tonight? Right? You never had that conversation. You just, of course you're going back tonight. Yeah, so Kevin DeYoung encourages us, and we encourage you to maybe this, you know, school year starting up, it's the month of August real soon, maybe you could begin to really incorporate it. I'm telling you to be transparent. The other night, family comes in, their children are not normally there, they're all lined up. That just makes my heart. That just makes, I just take joy in when I see someone come back on Sunday night. It's just, when I see someone make Sunday night a priority, I light up. I just, even if I'm not the preacher, and I haven't been the preacher on Sunday night for several weeks because everyone's been getting a chance to preach, I still love the fact, to me it shows a whole nother level of commitment to the local church when someone comes back on Sunday night. So thanks for listening, and we pray that you'll make Sunday night part of your life. Have a great day.